Well, those of you who have been here for the last few weeks will know that we're working through a series together that's called the Bible series, and it's looking at that big picture of the Bible together. So through the course of 7 weeks, we've been looking from Genesis, and we'll be finishing in Revelation next Sunday. So that'll be a challenge, won't it? An all-age parade service, and we're going to look at the whole of the book of Revelation. So that'll be a great good for us, won't it? But as you know, this is very much a big picture of stepping back and looking and seeing what God is doing as we come to the scriptures, and then how we might apply that into our lives. And so this morning, we're going to continue the story as we listen and learn of spirit and community. So let's pray before we listen, and then we'll continue the story together. Let's pray together. Loving God, thank you that you are the one who speaks to us. You speak, and Lord, would you give us hearts that are ready to listen? We thank you for the young people that have gone out this morning. We pray for Jim and Hazel as they lead them in your word, Lord, and watch over them. May that be a good time for them this morning. But also for each one of us, Lord, that we might be prompted and stirred by your spirit in responding to the things that you have for us. So help us again as we hear your word to us. Amen. Before Jesus ascended back to heaven, he promised his disciples,
"You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth."
On the day of Pentecost, 120 of Jesus' followers were gathered in Jerusalem.
Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them.
Peter then stood up and preached a message about Jesus to a large crowd that gathered.
When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day.
This was the birthday of the Christian church. The believers began to meet together regularly.
They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved.
Soon the early Christians faced persecution. Peter and John were arrested after a paralyzed man was healed, but they refused to stop sharing the good news.
The Jewish authorities commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, "Which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to God? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." After further threats, they let them go. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly.
Soon one of the worst persecutors became a believer in Jesus.
As Saul neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?"
Soon Saul became known as the Apostle Paul. He travelled across the known world, sharing the good news of Jesus with non-Jewish people. For example, Ephesus in modern-day Turkey.
Paul took the disciples and had discussions daily in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. This went on for 2 years, so that all the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord.
Christian leaders also wrote letters to churches scattered across the known world. In one of them, Paul declared,
"For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile."
Around April 30 AD, Jesus of Nazareth died, rose again, and ascended into heaven. What happened next was nothing short of sensational. A relatively small number of Jesus' followers took the Roman world by storm. Now, normally it's social elites from the big cities that shape our world. But early Christianity started with ordinary people, like you and me. Many were poor, disadvantaged, uneducated types. But the message of Jesus worked its way up and converted the powerful. Christianity is now a global movement that includes approximately 2.4 billion people. Now, how is that possible? Well, the key is what happened on the day of Pentecost. Around 50 days after the death of Jesus, God's Spirit filled his remaining followers with new life and power. Together, they formed a community which became known as the Church. It was never about a building or religion, but a vibrant, multicultural family filled to overflowing with God's love. And this kind of community can turn the world upside down. Now in our cultural moment, we need this more than ever. Modern society is so advanced and connected, and yet we're so lonely and isolated, and our inner well-being and mental health is suffering. Well, the New Testament shows us something refreshingly different, a community marked by true acceptance and radical generosity. So let's consider how we can experience this today.
Firstly, the Spirit connects us to God.
On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit appeared as flames of fire. Now, in the Old Testament, fire was a symbol of God's presence, but never did it rest on people. So Pentecost is a game changer. Because Jesus died to cleanse us, the Holy Spirit can now fill us with God's presence. Instead of God feeling remote or even frightening, the Spirit enables a new proximity and intimacy. Think of it a bit like Wi-Fi. Once connected, your small device is part of something so much bigger, receiving messages and enjoying experiences from beyond. In the same way, the Holy Spirit connects us to God so we can experience his love and communicate with him in prayer.
Secondly, the Spirit unites us with others.
Among the largest trees in the world are the sequoia or giant redwood. Their roots are surprisingly shallow, but they intertwine together, which gives them a shared strength when the storms blow through. It's a beautiful picture of what it means to be human. We're not isolated individuals. We're made to grow together. Then we can flourish even in the storms of life. Now, on the day of Pentecost, a new community of Jesus' followers was formed. What marked them out was the quality of their relationships. Their lives interlocked in mutual support, even sharing their possessions with those in need. They met together regularly to study the scriptures, to pray, and to worship, and Acts says they did it all with glad and sincere hearts. Now, sincerity is the opposite of hypocrisy. Hippocrates was a Greek word for an actor who performed a show while hiding behind a mask. So much human interaction and social media is just mask wearing. But the Holy Spirit enables true acceptance and vulnerability, and that's real community. Now, the Spirit also brought a multicultural unity. Christianity began as a Jewish sect, but soon it spread out to embrace other people groups and cultures. In Acts chapter 8, Jews shared the message of Jesus with Samaritans, which at the time was like breaching apartheid, really radical. Later, an Ethiopian and then a Roman centurion become Jesus' followers. Remember, Jesus was not white, and Christianity is not Western. Today, the church is a multicultural movement, flourishing in Africa, Latin America, and China.
So the Spirit connects us to God, unites us with others, and finally, the Spirit empowers us for action.
Have you ever read the book of Acts? You know, the original was written by Luke, who also was the author of Luke's Gospel, recording all that Jesus did when he was on earth. So Acts is like a sequel, showing how Jesus' followers picked up the baton and continued his ministry. Now, isn't that extraordinary? I mean, if I was to say to you, run like Usain Bolt, or write like William Shakespeare, you'd say, I can't. And if I was to say, continue the ministry of Jesus, you'd probably say, I can't. But what if the same Spirit who empowered Jesus should fill you? That's what Pentecost is all about. Christianity is not a celebrity cult or a spectator sport. We have a part to play. Now we are called into the action. The Bible may be written, but the story it tells is ongoing. Now we are writing the next chapter. Late in life, my father got into family history in a really big way. He produced several homemade volumes telling the Ollerton story. And soon after he died, I sat down to read them. I became engrossed as I read about ancestors who built their own houses and traveled with the merchant navy and fought in two world wars. Really inspiring stuff. But as I turned the final page, a surprise awaited. A picture of myself and my two sisters staring back. Now we are the next generation of Ollertons, bearing the family name and writing the next chapter of the story. This is precisely how reading the book of Acts should leave us feeling. It ends abruptly, the opposite of a neat finish. Instead, it's designed to inspire us. This must be continued, and now you have a part to play. Now we are caught up in the great story of Scripture, stretching back to our origins through Exodus, exile, Messiah. Now today we live in the age of the Spirit. He connects us with God. He unites us with one another and empowers us for action. So if you feel ordinary, inadequate, even a bit fearful, welcome to the club. The Spirit loves to empower people like you and me to bring hope to our world in Jesus' name.
As Jesus himself promised, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth.
You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Quite a picture, isn't it? A prospect to stir the heart and fire the imagination. But I tell you what, huddled there in that upper room, those words seemed a long way off. A beautiful but rapidly fading memory. We were terrified of going out, if the truth be told. Despite our prayers, despite his promise, we were scared still of our enemies that they would come for us, just as they'd come for him, and send us off to some equally brutal murder. We wished it were different. Of course we did. We longed for the courage to get out there and proclaim the good news, to tell the world what Christ had done. But even if we had found that courage, it wouldn't have counted for much, for we had no idea what to say or how to say it. We were 12 men with a mission, and none of us had the first idea where to start, let alone where it might finish. So we just sat there and waited and hoped, longing to believe that it might be true, but in our heart of hearts, wondering if it ever could be. For who were we? Ordinary folk like us, who were we to set the world on fire? It was an unlikely prospect, to say the least. Only suddenly, out of the blue, it happened. A sound like a mighty rushing wind filling the room. Tongues of fire leaping and dancing upon us, and all at once, beyond words itself, there was a peace, a joy, a confidence that defied description. No more doubt, no more hesitation. Our mouths were opened and we spoke boldly, moving out among the multitude that had gathered, the words flowing freely as we needed them. And each one heard us, amazed, bewildered to hear us speaking in their own language. A one-minute wonder, don't you believe it? It was the beginning of an astonishing adventure, a lifetime of witness, an incredible journey of discipleship out into Jerusalem, and on to Judea and Samaria and beyond to the ends of the earth. As I say, it's quite a picture, isn't it? One to stir even the coldest heart and fire the poorest of imaginations. At least I hope it does, for the job's not over. Not by a long way, nor, praise God, is the promise. The call is there and the offer is there for you and anyone who believes. The promise of power to be witnesses to the risen Christ. Wait patiently. Trust in the promise of the Father, and you, like us, will receive. Let's be still together for a moment. Lord, thank you for your promise to fill us and equip us in your service. Just as those disciples in that upper room were frightened about going out into the world for you, so we too have those same fears in our own different ways. How can I speak of you to people in my family, in the place I work, amongst my friends? I don't have the words to say. It's not brave enough. Lord, we thank you that your promise to us is not to do it in our own strength, but your promise is to fill us by your Spirit, to equip us, to help us to see the depth of your love for us and all that you have done for us, to know that cleansing that only you can bring. And then to go out in your name and to share it with the world around us. So So, Lord, would you please fill us by your Holy Spirit? Help us to receive all that you have for us. And help us to be those people that you created us to be in the very beginning. Those dearly loved children, called and sent out in your name. Amen.